I'm David Martin Davies, and coming up on The Source, the city of San Antonio is facing a $21 million shortfall in its budget, fighting to keep the city from balancing its books on the backs of the city's working families is new District 6 Councilmember Rick Galvan. Galvan is also on the side of the council's minority that didn't approve the term sheet for the Spurs' proposed downtown arena. We're going to hear from the council member about his first days in office and his plans for moving the city forward during these turbulent times. That's what's coming up on The Source, but first, this news.
Support for The Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org.
Are you ready to amplify your impact through workplace giving? Many employers match donations, doubling or even tripling your support for TPR's local and global programming. Some employers even match gifts from retirees and spouses, so your contribution can go even further. Check if your company participates today by visiting tpr.org/workplacegiving.
Live from the John L. Santico studio in downtown San Antonio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. The city of San Antonio is looking at a $21 million shortfall in its budget, and next year that shortfall would balloon to $152 million. The city is looking at ways to make cuts and raise revenue in order to make the budget math work. But who pays the price? Will the budgets be balanced on the backs of working families and the most vulnerable in the city? New District 6 Councilmember Rick Galvan joins us to discuss this problem. And Councilmember Galvan, welcome to Back to Source.
Yeah, thank you so much, David.
And happy birthday, belated happy birthday to
thank you.
You're now a robust 25 years old.
Yeah, no, my brain's fully developed. We're all good to go. I don't know why everyone's talking about me being too young. Look.
So here you are. So congratulations on that. So let's talk about this issue about the budget here in San Antonio and this fact that we have this shortfall. And where do you see, what is happening here? What are your concerns?
Yeah, it's been tough at City Hall, right? We see it across the country. We're seeing cities and local governments having to take on the brunt of some of the decisions being made at the state level as well as the national level on reducing grants, on reducing funding mechanisms, on reducing property tax increases or any kind of revenue sharing piece or revenue adjustments that cities want to make. And so our city's going to have to adjust in making sure that we're still delivering for the residents that we're meant to serve, but understanding that we're going to have less revenue here. We see property taxes in our city starting to stay flat, if not decline. Sales tax, same way. Even hotel occupancy tax, same way. And so all these different pieces that we have, all these different revenues that we have in our city are starting to get impacted to where we aren't going to be able to do as much as robust services we used to in the past couple of years. We saw tremendous growth in our city these past couple of years, which helped us kind of shore up some of these programs that we've always been wanting to invest in. The problem now is that how do we adjust to continue delivering for our residents without making such harsh impacts to some of the most important pieces that I think are crucial, right? There's always a talk about core services. And I think core services also should include our public health work, our human services work, our seniors and youth services, ways that we can include sustainability and transportation in our infrastructure work. All those things to me seem like the mission that we were meant to be put on here, the things that I ran on, things that people across our city ran on, and things that our residents are asking for. And so the crux of this issue now at this point is, how do we deliver this, right? And I think with a four-year term, that we are now having city council, we have an opportunity to look long-term, not just say, how do we fix this one to make sure that we have the budget be balanced, but also, what are we looking at in the next 4 years, next 5 years, the same way our city manager does, five-year forecast? How does our city council look at five-year forecast, too, for our city budget?
So I do want to highlight that the problem that San Antonio is having with its budgets is happening all across the state of Texas. Every local government, city, county, school districts, they're facing the same situation. So this is not something that was happening specifically to San Antonio due to leadership or policy or whatever. This is happening across the state, really due to state laws that have been passed that capped property tax revenue. Simultaneously, we are seeing sales tax revenue flat, and it could crater depending upon what happens with the economy. So there are a lot of things in play here. So the questions are, though, these are the cards that are being dealt. How will you on city council and other city council members, you know, working together in Congress, figure out how do we pay the bills, maintain the city, provide public safety, public service, and also at the same time address some of our incredible needs, and there are a lot of needs.
Yeah.
And so for so long, people would say, well, let's do this special program. We can do this. We can do that. We can't do that anymore. And we're also losing all those, as you mentioned just now, federal dollars, mm-hmm. because the Trump administration has cut back on public health programs, all sorts of programs that, public housing programs, all sorts of money that the city would get for these things. That's not going to be there anymore. So we do have to not only, do the math, but also we have to communicate to the public
right.
that things are different.
Yeah.
I mean, so talk about that.
Yeah, no, I think that the biggest thing that I've been working on, right, hearing from residents, not only on the campaign trail, but ever since being elected to our field offices at Tesla and Darner, our staff that are there are hearing from all across the district, right? How do we make sure that we're still going to have the infrastructure improvements that we need in our communities? How are we going to make sure that our senior centers don't lose the services that they are having? How do we make sure that the youth services, too, right, that are being combined or being proposed to be combined under one department versus multiple departments, how are they going to make sure, or how is our city going to make sure that those services are still just as quality as they were before? And so what my mission is at City Council is to make sure that as we're looking at these budget shortfalls, that we're looking at collaboration, not only interdepartmentally, right, within our city, but externally too. Some of the good, I think, proposals that I've seen with Metro Health in particular, right, our health department is facing some pretty serious budget cuts, not only this year, but definitely the next year too, largely due to some state grants too, Medicaid waivers going away and other pieces too. And so what I want to make sure in the Community Health Committee, where I have been appointed to be chair by the mayor, is we're going to do a deep dive within Metro Health and see how can we make sure that if we're going to lose this program on oral health, who can we partner with in our city to make sure that this continues to happen and serve the community?
Like our universities.
Yeah, our universities, our healthcare providers, who else is in our community that we can continue to work with to make sure that this service continues to go forward? Of course, everyone's facing right some serious budget issues, not only the cities, but also even other nonprofits and such too, right? But I think if we collaborate on our resources, can I put them together, I think we can get this job done. And we're seeing other cities do it, whether it's Baltimore or Nashville or Chicago. They're leaning on some of these community partners that are here and saying, how can the city continue to give you some structured resources? How can we use our structured resources too to bolster these services? And that way they can reach deep into the community and we don't have to leave anybody behind.
Let's go to a caller. Our number is 833-877-8255. We have Luis. Luis, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for having me on the air. I appreciate your time and effort. My question is, with the building of this Project Marvel, this whole Project Marvel issue, having to do with the numbers and transparency issues with what we're looking at, the people of Bexar County are footing 2/3 of the bill for this, and the Spurs are putting 1/3 of the bill for this, if I understand correctly, or you can correct me. But what I want to know is, where is the return for the people of Bexar County going to be? Because so if the business-wise, if the Spurs drop 1/3 of the funding, they should get 1/3 in return back, and then the people of Bexar County should get the other 2/3. Where is the contract? Where is the return back to the investment that the people of Bexar County be doing, just like the people of San Antonio? I would like to see that, because our council, I haven't heard anyone say any of that. And the mayor is asking for transparency. Who buys a house without getting inspected?
Okay.
I want to know about that, because I'm certainly not going to buy a house without getting it inspected. And I don't think we should do that as a city either.
All right, Luis, thank you for that. So I have about a minute, and then we're going to go to break, and we'll continue part of that. But, you were one of the votes that said we do against the term sheet. So, yeah, that's where you come from.
Yeah, no, thank you, Luis, for the question. I had a lot of questions when we were talking about the Spurs Stadium in particular. We have more conversations that we had about the overall Project Marvel piece, Convention Center, Alamo Dome, everything else. My biggest concern was the same thing you shared, right? I can't operate on City Council as just a Spurs fan. I was elected to make sure that we're fighting for our communities and we're delivering good city services. And so my questions always stem from just that. Where is the return on investment for this? How can we make sure our city services are supported?
Right. And so we need to have good faith conversations. We need transparency. We need to figure these things out. But there's a lot of give and take happening, I guess, right now on this. And there's still a lot more debate to be happened. So we got to take a break here. We'll get Rich on the air with his question. And our phone lines are open, 833-877-8255. Talking to District 6 Council Member Rick Galvan, focusing on the budget, and I guess we'll talk about Project Marvel a bit too. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Stay with us.
Support for this podcast of The Source comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company. They are committed to helping policyholders build strong and thriving businesses through their exceptional service. More at texasmutual.com/texansdeliver. Texas Mutual. Texans get it.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. In the next half hour, we're talking about abortion pills. The Texas legislature passed a bill to prohibit the abortion pills from out of state coming into Texas. We'll talk about that. But right now, we've got District 6 Council Member Rick Galvan in the studio talking about a budget crunch for the city of San Antonio and what can be cut, where can revenue be raised, how do we make the math and still provide the needs for the city, talking about working families and the most vulnerable, as well as public safety and streets and all these other things. It's a tough conundrum. You can call in 833-877-8255. Let's go to Rich on the phones. And Rich, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, sir?
Okay, you're on the air.
So my concern is, what is the general concern for all of the public? I don't see this as a bad idea or a bad stance. If in the end, in the long run, it's going to promote economic growth, economic wealth to the city, where is the hangup? I get that it's not going to happen in the next year or two or three, but in the next 10 or 20, it'll definitely be present. Why is it so hard to come to that consensus?
All right. Okay, Rich. And he's talking about Project Marvel.
Yeah.
So one argument is that it is going to be a job provider. It'll boost the local economy.
Yeah. No, thank you for the question, Rich. And I'll try to tailor back a bit to the other question, too. I mean, overall, my concerns with Project Marvel overall has been just looking at some of the academic research, mainly on stadiums and convention centers. There's other conversations we can have about infrastructure, about downtown, that I see a lot of good quality economic development going on downtown and how downtowns can help shape the entire counties for the city, right? My concern with some of the stadium pieces and the convention center pieces is that the investments municipal governments typically make, public subsidies that we provide in some form, whether it's revenue bonds or it's other kinds of subsidies, direct subsidies to these pieces, don't always come back with a strong return on investment. As a matter of fact, we see most often they don't. Sometimes it costs more money to keep investing in them. We see a constant ask to renew new stadiums we've seen in our city alone. And so, you know, I'm not against having quality economic development or even having sports centers in our city. The problem is really making sure that our city, if we're going to be on the hook for it, that we're getting a good return on investment. And so,
There's a lot of talk about studies. We need an economic mm-hmm. study.
Sure.
Is anyone going to do a study about what happens to cities when they lose their major sports franchise?
Yeah.
You know, that's a big loss.
Right. No, it is definitely a big loss. And we've seen, you know, major cities lose teams before. We've seen it with Seattle. We've seen it with other cities too, right? What does it mean for them? And what I would argue is that, well, it's tough for sure. And I'm not someone who wants to see our Spurs leave or any of our major leagues or any kind of sports team leave. What I want to make sure too is that when we do this kind of work, when we're investing in public subsidies for stadiums or for sports districts, that we're seeing a strong return on investment, not only for our general fund, but for our larger community. And that means more than culture. It means good wages, good paying jobs, local hiring, an expansion of our economy versus just the kind of shifting of revenue here and there or shifting economic activity. I want to see the west side and the south side and the east side thrive, not just one part of our city thrive.
Now, let's get back to the budget.
Yeah.
The raising the tax rate, that seems to be off the table, right?
Yeah, currently at this moment, yeah.
But there is talk about the utilities, CPS Energy
right.
and SAWS, our water provider, that they will be coming to city council looking for rate increases. And we're seeing that there's more demand for electricity, more demand for water. We're right. in the drought. We got to find water sources. We have a lot of data centers, AI
yeah.
centers, using a lot of the energy and water that we have in the city. So what are you guys going to be looking at considering these rate increases and what that means for working families?
Yeah, it's tough, right? We're talking about property tax increases too, right? And it's off the table for this particular budget cycle, but who knows what it'll look like next cycle. And I think the important part of all of that is trying to figure out who's it going to hurt the most and who's it going to impact the most, right, in some form. I think when we look at cities like Austin that are looking at a property tax rate increase, I appreciate the openness about it, right? To give residents a chance to say, if you want to see these services that we're providing on mental health and all these other pieces, we need to raise more money for it somehow. And so I appreciate the honesty on it in some form, right? I appreciate bringing it back to voters to say, here's what we can do. It's up to you to decide if you want to go that route or not. And if we don't, then we'll figure out what to do next. In terms of CPS and SAWS, I think it's something that we've been seeing a lot at City Council, asking questions about changing in tiers of rates, right? Seeing that not only residents paying a higher form of
sort of rates, staircasing the rates.
Precisely.
So that people who use a minimum amount of water to support their family
right.
will not be penalized for that. But whereas these big water and energy mm-hmm. consumers will pay a rate that seems to be more aligned with their existence.
Exactly. And on top of that, right, we talk about development subsidies too that both of our utilities provide in some form, whether it's impact fees requiring some development in certain parts of our city to charge a little bit more when they do that so we can focus on building on infrastructure that already exists versus creating new infrastructure. Both of our utilities have different views on that, and I really appreciate SAWS looking at if we're going to do further out development from the downtown core, it's going to cost you a bit more, right? Because that means new infrastructure further out into Bexar County. It means new infrastructure that we are paying for every single time. CPS has a little bit different view, and so trying to bring them back home I think is important to say that let's invest back in our city and the infrastructure that we do have, repair those pieces versus having to create new and maintain that as well.
But the city is looking at CPS Energy as a form of revenue.
Correct.
CPS Energy is selling electricity out on the open market, not just to San Antonio, mm-hmm. but to other places that need electricity, and those prices are going up, and they're seeing that as they're making a lot of money, and that will go directly into the general fund?
Correct. And so that's something that we've been having a conversation about, City Council, between our colleagues about, you know, we're looking at the new generation plan, right, for CPS Energy. They're coming back around to say, what is our goals in renewable energy and other energy forms? How can we make sure that we're meeting those goals, as well as ensuring that we have enough power for ourselves and for the rest of the community that we also support? And my question always is, you know, what is the cost difference for us, right? Is it going to continue to impact our residents in a detrimental way, or can we see a good return on investment too, whether it's city services or somehow weatherization funds for our residents, so that way the energy load here for our residents, the energy costs for them too, are reduced while we can still maybe sell in that market?
Let's go to another caller. We have Bennett. And Bennett, you're on the air.
Yes. Well, I think the basic problem is we, as individuals, as a nation, we become hooked to a credit card mentality. Buy now, pay later. And that's affecting all our thinking. The problem is that we can't give, right now the United States has $35 trillion in debt. It's unrefundable. It's gonna bankrupt the country. So we have to look at tightening our belts, not what we can get more out of people. Because as the inflation occurs, and the inflation is due to the depreciation of the U.S. dollar.
All right,
people don't realize that.
Well, Bennett, thank you for the call. So the city council, San Antonio City, cannot run a deficit. You have to have a balanced budget. So you're not running on a credit card. It's a pay-as-you-go system, which so you have to look at what are the demands, what are the needs, what are you committed to, and then how much revenue is coming in. So where are the cuts going to happen? People are wondering, will we see a reduction in library hours, or, you know, to public safety? Where do you see cuts?
Yeah, so right now what the city's proposing, thankfully, is no major services changes, right? Library hours will still be the same from what I have been able to see. It looks like most senior center hours will be the same as well. It really is looks like consolidating some departments, consolidating some of the work that they do. I think about youth services being one where Parks had some of the youth services, Metro Health had some, so trying to put them all into one place in DHS, having that staff that's a bit more equipped to do it, to do that work, and even some other pieces too, right? Looking at some of the Parks programming we're talking about today, where some classes haven't been utilized, or can we close those services down? That way we can focus on the other ones that are being maintained and used currently. Those are where the cuts are at currently, right? It's looking at things that aren't used as much, things that aren't as active, and then also looking at fees that the city does charge and can charge a bit more, such as birth certificates or, you know, animal care service pieces, all these different fees that are kind of here and there to raise some more revenue. The bigger piece is 2027, where we're going to see major cuts to departments that will impact services. And so my goal between now and then, of course, it's only 1 year, right? But it's not only do deep dives with our departments, but to figure out ways that our city can grow economically to where we could do development more inside our city, particularly in our inner city, to where we can raise some more revenue naturally through development versus having to raise revenue on our residents directly.
Typically when this happens, cities turn to deferred maintenance for roads and sidewalks, bridges and things. And what you end up doing is just kicking the can down the road or you end up with a dilapidated city.
Yeah.
So how are you going to deal with this, the cost of maintaining the city?
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that even the last caller mentioned about kind of debt, right? While he was focusing a bit more on national debt, our city has a pretty large debt as well when we talk about bond financing. And a lot of that work that we do within bonds is that major infrastructure work, right? So one of the things that I'm looking for is a cost savings piece, right? We talk about how do we make sure that our investments are not only doing good work, but they're also reducing the cost overall in the future, right? We know if we fix the whole house, it's better for the house in the future, right? We fix the whole car is better than just fixing one piece of the car. And so if we can do that, I think it's important that we not only invest in creating that new bridge or fixing up that bridge or fixing that street, but we look at complete streets too, right? Complete streets being ways that folks can travel on these streets by car, by bike, by bus. And so that way there's less maintenance on it overall, right? When we have new bike lanes there, when we have expanded sidewalks, and we have better transportation on these roads, people use their cars a little bit less, and not saying that everyone has to take off into the bus or on the bike, but if someone does it a little bit differently, if someone's able to travel on this road differently, it's less maintenance on that road specifically that our city has to do in the future. Same thing with drainage.
What do you think will happen with third-party funding organizations, nonprofits, sometimes arts organizations that come to the city? They would get grants for projects. Is that going to continue? Will that be scrutinized? Will that have to tighten their belts also?
I think it's going to be a little bit of tightening the belts, but definitely there's still work being done by City Council to make sure that those grants are still out there. We know the work that our arts community does has a good economic benefit, not only for our city, but also for our city government, but for the larger city too. It means something for our culture. It means something for our development nearby, these public art pieces or other kind of art installments. And so even some of these human services work that they're doing as well in their nonprofit community, asking for support there. Our focus now with that scrutiny piece that you mentioned, especially for myself, is seeing how can our investments in these nonprofits double up the work that we're doing, looking at ones that maybe serve homeless folks, right? Looking at support in mental health care services versus looking at things that maybe support their own work and their own venture. Let's look at ways that we can make sure that these collaborations that we're doing are actually collaborations and not just saying, go do some research over here and come back to us. It needs to be the direct work that we're doing.
So in the budget crafting process, there is a role for public input. People can go to their council member hearings and talk to them and represent, and they can say, this is what we want. Don't cut our hours, don't neglect our parks. So you're still doing that process, right?
Absolutely. We had our budget town hall August 25th, which was a Monday night at the Cuellar Community Center in the Edgewood part of our district. We had some pretty good turnout, but I echo to everybody there, right? You have friends, you have folks in your lives that don't always come out to these, or maybe you didn't want to come out to this part of the district because our district's pretty massive. Reaching out to our office. We have two field offices, one off Tesla Road, one off Old Highway 90, and that our folks can come in and talk to not only our staff, but also call in, email us at the CouncilDistrict6SanAntonio.gov email, or even message us on social media, and we can make sure to get that feedback into our systems so that when I go up on the dais, I have the materials ready to go and review them beforehand to say, here's what my constituents are looking for, here's how I can act. And so,
is there a program that you, Rick Galvan, will say, I will fight for this program? It is too important, whether it's support for the food bank or whatever we have going on in San Antonio, the symphony, I don't know. What do you say, I am going to protect this like a pit bull?
It's a tough one, right? Because you don't want to pick favorites, but I really want to lay stake in the Metro Health Department, right? It's a tough call to make. We're not going to see national support. We're hardly going to see state support. That's where the city has to come in. And we look at the partners we have in our community. We look at our healthcare industry here in our city. That's part of our economy too, not only for our economic gain, but also for our literal human life and health. And so as a chair of community health committee, our focus is going to be looking at a case or breakdown of each kind of piece that Metro Health is working on to see how can we shore this piece up, this work up, and make sure that we are getting to a place where we have good quality health care in our city, where our folks are not seeing these drastic health disparities. And of course,
we have, you know, vaccine needs, immunization, we have type 2 diabetes needs, we have all sorts of, you know, and maybe there's some philanthropy out there that can be looked at. We show that San Antonio has needs, we have a workable solution, we just need some dollars to make it go. So,
right.
Well, Rick Galvan, I'm so glad to hear you talk about public health in that way. And thanks for coming in today, District 6 Councilmember Rick Alvan. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for inviting me.
That's The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thank you for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Ruben Garcia, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz, Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.